We are spending the time between Easter and Pentecost in a number of conversations in which we seek to recognise Jesus in our own lives and in the lives of those with whom we work. Let us begin in prayer. Risen Jesus, through our interactions, may we recognise someone else's truth and learn from them. Today we continue to look at John 14, its promise and its truth, and how we can gain understanding from a truth that differs from our own.
Jesus says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, because he abides with you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me. And those who love me will be loved by my Father. And I will love them and reveal myself to them."
The beginning of this passage has somewhat of an interesting phrasing, because often when the words "if you love me" are used, it's by a child or a friend or partner who want something or want their own way. Yet this passage isn't about Jesus getting his own way, but offering something, offering an advocate to be with us as he has returned to heaven. The advocate image of the Holy Spirit is one that I find poignant, challenging and inspiring. I have a friend who has complex mental health, much of it brought on due to abuse they endured. For a time I'd arrange their appointments and deal with paperwork. I had to be familiar with sensitive information, much of which I found heartbreaking to the point of feeling powerless. Many of these things were done as an advocate, as my friend could not do them herself. But what I wanted to do in my heart was fix them and wipe away all the horrible things that had happened. But I couldn't. I used to get upset that because I couldn't fix them, that would mean I'd failed. In time, I've come to realise that I cannot fix my friend. It's not my job to do that. And I can't stop them ending their life. But it doesn't mean I'm a failure as a friend. Their truth is different from mine. They see the world from a point that has more fear in it. And the reality is, one day I anticipate receiving a call to say that my friend's truth has caused as much pain as they can manage to live with. But in the meantime, I learn to live with things as they are. To sit alongside my friend, rather than trying to fix them.
I found myself thinking along a different track, but still one where I often feel powerless to make things right. For many years, I have been involved with City of Sanctuary, and one of the things I have learnt is to listen to the experience of those who have sought sanctuary in this country. City of Sanctuary began as people belonging to the host community, looking to create a culture of welcome for asylum seekers and refugees. That remains an important element of the network, but a much more important aspect these days is to listen to experts by experience and to be led in our actions or our campaigning by the voices of those who know the immigration system intimately from the inside. I remember Martha, her distress at receiving a letter calling her for interview 200 miles away with no means of getting there. Or of Adam, who had come to the UK as a 5-year-old, discovering as a student that because his father had returned to his original country, that he had to do the same and apply for asylum from there. Or Elizabeth, campaigning and organising a right to work campaign, being reminded time and again that these are not lazy people who expect everything to be given to them, but expect to work hard and make a contribution to their new home. Sometimes we are able to give people a platform to be heard, sometimes to retell their stories, but mostly I feel powerless for them. I cannot mend their situations. I can only walk alongside my friends, love them, value all that they are, encourage them, celebrate with them in good times, and sometimes be inspired by a moment amongst lives I have not needed to live. Lesson. Classroom. Whiteboards clean, laminated signs precisely displayed. Tables pushed back, windows peering through mucky grey dusk towards the other stadium. Chairs pulled into a small, intimate circle against chatterbuzz. The Iraqi is wriggling, agitated as we discuss sanctuary giving plans. He interrupts, speaking quickly, passionately, excited. Since 2 days the killings begin. The local expert tries to reassert control, but focus shifting, we strain to comprehend the grief of paediatrician ripped from patients. Grabbing his phone, images pour out. This girl who begs for healing, this man shot in the back of the head, Iranians invited to reassert control, protester executed in the street. The Iranian quietly weeps. The doctor looks across, pausing at distress. No, no. Not your people, just government. And they fall into each other's arms, silently weeping. We stack the chairs against the long wall, gather coats, mumble goodbye, disappear.
We are not God. We cannot fix everything. And that may be frustrating. But it also reminds us that we are not required to fix everything. Jesus reminds us, on that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I in you. We are made in God's image, which means that frail, broken, awful backstory isn't just belonging to the person, but it also belongs to God. My truth is different to your truth, but both are God's truth, and therefore we just need to be hearing one another and God.
Let us pray. Loving God, may we see you in the lives of all who seek to dwell in peace and love. May we see you in the welcome we give to one another. May we see you and know you as you sanctify each precious holy life. Amen.